Welcome back to the Blindsiders. I am Ben, and I'm here with Brian and Dylan to talk about episode 7, also known as episode several of Survivor 46. Not only do they name the episode title, we got a Jelinski shout out from Jeff in this episode. So,
yeah, I mean, talk about being a living legend. A legend. So a player who's become a legend within their own season. I don't think we've seen that maybe ever.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. Shout out Jelinski. Maybe he'll be a second chance to ballot person. We'll see if he gets on.
Yeah. All I can think of is like Drew Christie. That's kind of another example I can think of.
Yeah.
In terms of like becomes eternally famous in the season for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Jelinski didn't get to say that he was a badass, so that's unfortunate. But yeah, I did see he wanted to name the Merge tribe after Keith Nail if he got there. So could have been even like for real a legend if he had hung around.
Mm-hmm. Did he have a specific name in mind, or just like
there's like yeah. K'Nailly? And like he's gonna try to convince people that was a Fijian word, I think.
Did Keith already die by the time they were filming this?
I think Just had passed away by the time they were filming it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was fresh. I know. Real talk about a legend. Keith Nail, for real, a Survivor legend.
I was saying RIP OJ.
Oh yeah.
Died today. Yeah. The football player.
Yeah, one of the greatest running backs of all time.
The actor OJ Simpson.
Mm-hmm. Actor, yeah. Great comedic actor OJ Simpson.
Yeah,
I heard he did. Yeah, he, you know, whatever happened after that, known for talking on Twitter about football mm-hmm. a lot recently.
Yeah,
that was really surprising when I heard. I don't want to derail, but when Dylan texted us that he died this morning in our group chat, I was like, wow, I just saw him on Twitter during the football season, very active. And then I went back and he hadn't posted anything since February. I was like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
I guess I'll jump in, you know. Also, anybody has anything else to say?
No, I was going to say, it just reminds me of that bit of, I'm sure you guys have seen it, of, I think it's Jim Downey on the Conan O'Brien podcast.
Yeah.
And it's like the Jeffrey Epstein, like the New York financier.
Yeah.
That whole bit. Very funny.
Oh, man. Yeah. Speaking of Conan, Hot Ones episode today. Great stuff.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I saw that it happened. I didn't watch it, though, yet.
So. Yeah. He really is the GOAT of like.
I love Conan O'Brien. Yeah.
So great. But yeah, split merge tribe, tribal council, our favorite round. We've talked about it every season. Yeah. We love this.
Love
Jeff, why can't we just do this every round, really? Like, let's every round split it arbitrarily into two groups. It works out so great every time. And it's totally not dumb.
I think it worked. It was great. It was great in this episode in the sense of drama. I thought it worked really well, especially with Soda and that whole thing. That I felt so bad. I felt really bad for Tim, but I felt horrible for Soda because that was a clear like that's an absolute blindside. That is like this person literally had a negative idea that they were going home. So that it worked for that, but yeah, it's once again we just keep going. We keep continuing on that path what Jeff wants is staying regardless of what people think about it. But I thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I'm like, I've kind of done a complete 180 on this season. I'm kind of embracing what you guys always talk about where you have like a lot of bad gameplay, but the people are so entertaining that it just makes the season great. And I think that's where it's shaping up. I think it was the best episode of the season for me. I really enjoyed it. I was glued the entire time. And that was even knowing the possibility of who was going home because I saw the tweet that two black players were voted out. And so like it almost made it more entertaining knowing Venus was not going home, seeing all that play out. Great episode. And I had texted it in the group chat before, but Venus is like perfect, perfect, just like dumb, stupid villain for this season. It's great.
Yeah. Venus is great. I love Venus. Great passing.
Yeah, like you said, Dylan, sucks for Soda. I think Tevin just, you know, a classic case of big move-itis here for no reason, really. I mean, Soda seemingly was not even contemplating going against him. So just seems so out of left field. But, you know, you got to make big moves, I guess.
We can save it if you want to. Maybe I miss it. Why did he end up voting for Venus?
Yeah, that was weird because, like, he ended up voting for Venus, presumably to save face with Soda. But then when she was like, oh, is this your move, Venus? He was, like, offended. It's like, what do you want? Do you want to save face or do you want credit for the move? Can't be both.
Maybe, like, outside chance, like, random shot in the dark. If he like gets a whiff of the vote before tribal, but like that felt like a really like true blindside. I don't know if that was like super necessary to throw a name, but it doesn't really matter. Like it's not like Venus is gonna hate Tevin more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that what a mess of a tribe that Nami turned out to be. 1 second without Hunter, and they just completely collapse.
I love it. I love it. That was very entertaining. I still like my pick of Tevin a lot. I think that there's a lot of people in the season at this point that I can see not winning, but there's still a decent amount that I can see winning. Tevin's one of them. I don't know. But just the comedic effect of it all, of Soda immediately going to Venus, and like Venus in her head believes truly that it was her that orchestrated this whole thing, which makes it even better. It was just great. It's great. And I know it's going to play in coming down the road, Venus and Tevin. But I love it. I love the dynamic. I think there's so many different personalities on this season that mesh so well together, as opposed to other seasons recently where I always talked about, you pretty much always had like the type A, type B that were just coming together, where I really feel like we have, how many players are left? 10.
10 now, yeah.
10 now, yeah.
Everyone's like their own person, and it really is working really well. Where I don't know if the gameplay is as good this season as it has been previously. I don't even know previously it has even really been that good. And I think we've just kind of like been glued into the just being a collective of decent players. But I love that. I love the people that are left. There's really no one that I want like completely gone. Like I say Venus is a villain, but she's not to the point where I'm like, oh, get this person off my TV type villain. This is like pure entertainment. That was great. That was great. Her going to Venus selling it, Venus believing that it's all her and she's the mastermind. She turned around her game. It's just so good. I loved it.
Yeah. And I think, we had a lot of like good, boring gameplay. Now we're having bad, fun gameplay. And that's like such a great change of pace, a needed one, because you know there's just a lot of players who are just not, I guess, like Q, right? My winner pick, I hope he goes far. He seemingly is being set up like pretty hard to have a major downfall, and he's just so unaware of how he's coming off to his allies and you know how his allies are reacting to the things that he's saying. Even when they're like not trying to hide it that much, like that they're annoyed by him. And it's just like, that's great. We need people like that who are just like completely oblivious to what's happening around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we at the top of the episode before we get the twist, like the one real scene we get is Venus being upset that Charlie voted for her. But not knowing that it was Charlie at first, going to Soda and being like, Soda, you voted for me. And then they get into an argument, and then Charlie comes clean. And then we get this weird scene where Q is like lecturing Charlie on how to play the game and like being like, you shouldn't have done that. That was, you know, that was like really good chaos for us. And it's like,
right.
Is that chaos really benefiting Charlie? I mean, like, it kind of ended up accidentally benefiting him later, but like that was more on Tevin wanted to make a big move, and like the Venus and Soda stuff was kind of like tertiary. So like I don't know, it felt very odd for Q to feel like he had like he's that cocky that he's gonna go and like lecture another person on how to play Survivor who's not even really his ally.
Yeah, I mean,
I was gonna say, I think I made the comparison of Q being more of like a Jeremy type character for the show, where I think he's now like heading in the direction of becoming more of like a coach type character, where he's like, he thinks he's in way better of a spot than he really is. And he honestly might coach his way into being, you know, top five. I think Q, in my opinion, is one of the people that I see now that it will not win this game. I put him up there as like somebody that has zero chance of winning. Mm-hmm. I think like we kind of like slowly saw his game start to blow up here, which was interesting too, because obviously, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, they were the worst tribe ever. And then last week they got incredibly lucky with the way that the rocks are drawn, and it's kind of given them this power, and seeing how it's already going to Q's head. And he's already starting to break apart his own real alliance. It's very, very, very interesting. Not the Jeremy Collins side that I thought that he was going to take.
No. And, you know, shades of Coach, where Coach, you know, his back hurt in that final immunity challenge. This one, Q intentionally threw this. Apparently, if you believe that, I don't know if I necessarily do. But that's what he claims. He threw this immunity challenge.
I don't think it matters. If he did, it didn't matter because he was not winning it. Like it's very hard for somebody of Q Stasher to kind of win the challenge like this. It's not like you saw like the people who won. It was like two smaller women. Like, yeah. You know, that's generally what you get out of this challenge.
One of the couple laugh out loud moments of the episode was him explaining that he purposely jumped off because he wanted to see who's loyal to him at Tribal.
It also reminded me of Philip in Fans versus Favorites being like, I actually threw that immunity challenge, and all of his allies being like, no, you didn't. Like, what? You clearly lost that. Like, but you know what? Fine. You threw it. I mean, I love him as a character. I'm disappointed that he's, you know, not lived up to the expectations I had of him as a player, but I'm happy because he's kind of providing a type of character that we don't get all the time, but when we do, it's very fun.
Yeah. I guess the other major scene we got that wasn't part of this like post-twist thing that ends up getting some play in the Tribal Council later is where Ben has wakes up in the middle of the night with a panic attack. I thought this episode was like really, really good for Kenzie. You know, talking about people who can win the game at this point, like, like she's kind of moved up probably towards into my top three at this point after this episode. Getting
applauded for winning a challenge at Tribal Council. Like, yeah, that's like winner edit type stuff.
Yeah. And so this was like very like humanizing moment. And it was like kind of like a, how is this going to end up playing out? Is it going to be Kenzie has to, you know, put her personal relationship aside and like make the cold-hearted move and cut Ben at the end, or is like this going to be like a longer-term relationship that might matter strategically? And it looks like it's going to be the latter by the end of the episode. So yeah, I was really interested to see how this plays out, especially because like this wasn't really like a duo that I kind of saw coming.
No. Is Ben playing one of the like best social games ever? Like, this is to a point where like everyone loves him seemingly. Mm-hmm. Like, no one wants to vote him out. Even when it, like, makes sense to vote him off, people are just like, but I just like him so much. I don't want him to leave.
I think Charlie is up there as well, honestly. Like, everyone thinks that Charlie is, like, a you know, sweetheart, like, completely, you know, has no, like, is not scary as a player at all. Like, I don't know. Maybe it could hurt him in a final tribal where people are like, oh, you know, you were just kind of like the nice guy who floated along if he doesn't actually, you know, make moves. But for right now, like, it's playing really well into his strengths. And he's obviously clearly a much sharper player than I think people are leaning on. But yeah, Ben as well. Just like pure 100% social game.
Maria's a player that has really impressed me too. I mean, she's stood out at physical times, which surprises me. Obviously, she won the immunity and the reward for her tribe today. But I thought she was really impressive on the beach with her social game too. With all that, I think she. It's weird. She like went after Venus while also like, but going after her in like a respectful way. She's someone probably an episode or two in that I would not have put up there. Somebody that I think could be a winner. But she's another one for me that I have up there that could definitely, very, not only top five, but yeah, definitely win the game.
I feel a little bad for Venus, but like, you know, when she didn't fit in on her initial tribe, I was like, oh, that sucks. But now it's like literally everyone she interacts with is like, she is not really like someone you want to be around. So it's like, okay, it seemingly is Venus. It's not like just circumstances, right?
Is she the youngest person on the season? Is someone anybody younger?
She's the youngest. Yeah. I think she's 20 and then Charlie's 21 or 22.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just like, I think, so Mariah did an exit interview last week, and she kind of talked about how, like, she was very, like, blatantly playing, like, in a way where, like, it was so obvious what she was doing that people were just, like, put off with where she would be like, oh, here's this information on this. Now you give me information instead of being like, you know, like working it and like actually getting it naturally, just kind of being like, we're going to exchange this information, and people were put off by that. So I, you know, probably does have a little bit with to do with being like younger than everyone else and maybe not terribly experienced with one, you know, social situations like beyond high school and college, and then like to like playing a social strategy game.
One of my, at least she's playing like aggressively, you know, she's not playing well. Cause that, if I remember, that was one of my complaints probably about midway through last season, was that for a few episodes, I feel like we had so many people that just didn't want to take that next big step and start like really playing the game, where at least like, that's not a problem this season at all, but at least Venus is someone who is aggressively playing. I think she definitely she's definitely handicapped being an attractive young female.
I've heard it's one of the worst handicaps you can have in survival.
It's like if you play too aggressively, you like come off as a bitch to everyone, and then like if you sit back too much, that you're gonna say that you were just pretty and that's why you were brought along, or you were a pretty go for slaughter. I do sympathize her. I don't think she's playing a good game, but she is at least playing aggressive. And like I said, this episode definitely shaped it, where I love her, like her villain arc and the way that she's doing. She's not the traditional villain that I like would think of, but she's somebody that we have called for in previous seasons that is very clearly that playing that role, whether she thinks she is or not. And it's just it's adding that entertainment element, which is just working really well. And I was really down on this season once we got to Banu and Banu out. I really thought we were kind of like in a very, very stale, uncharismatic group. But really, it was because we spent so much time with that tribe and with Banu and his antics that now that we have everybody together, the merge this season for sure benefited the viewing aspect of it, because all these people together has just been really, really good. And then now that we're actually able to spend time with them and seeing the game that they're playing, it's great. When you said earlier Kenzie's like, this episode really started to kind of shape up Kenzie's winning arc, if she's gonna get there. I feel like we saw the edits for a lot of people. That's why I wasn't totally shocked Soda went home today, was because really up until this point, there was like some inkling that she could be a really good player. But we like haven't seen any of it, and not really seeing much of her involved in that social discussion, obviously because it was a blindside and she thought that she was safe and Venus was going home. We didn't really get to see her do that gameplay. So I'm not surprised by that, but this is definitely the part where I start paying attention to the edit way more. And yeah, I agree. I think Kenzie's winner arc is up there. If not the best, she's like top three for me at this point, just because where she started to where she's at now is very impressive.
Yeah, no, agreed. I, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens next. I think who else had a good episode? I'm trying to think.
I mean, I think Charlie had an okay.
Yeah, Charlie had a great. Yeah, no, I mean, he two times in a row now would have been the very easy, you know, Charlie's vulnerable. We should just vote Charlie off, and both times, one time people just never seemed to consider him. Except for Venus. And then this time people were actively like, I don't want to do that at all. So that's great.
Yeah. Not even a single vote against them. Neither. Mm-hmm. On the travel council. Yeah. Very impressive. And yeah. Like I said, I think that like Charlie has massively impressed me this season. I came in at very low expectations of him. And yeah, I like him a lot. I think that he's like, if we're looking at like younger contestants on like Survivor recently, he's gotta be probably the best that we've seen. Mm-hmm. It's you know, slim pickings, honestly. Yeah. for like really like I guess Carson is on the younger end, right? But other than that, like as far as like actually being good at Survivor, you know, you can have your opinions of Carson as a person, but he's clearly good at Survivor.
Well, he was. I still hate Carson just because of the whole like super fan trying everything, like bringing it up every time that he's being in confessional, but yeah, I know for sure. Carson was the one that immediately came to my mind other than Charlie. I'm trying to think though. Yeah. Cause it does feel like we had like a lot recently, really anybody that stuck out was not middle-aged, but was like late 20s, early 30s, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, Charlie, I mean, we'll see what game Venus plays. Maybe she embraces what she is and uses it to her advantage to create chaos. I don't know, but yeah, I agree. Yeah. Charlie and Carson.
Yeah. I guess that's pretty much everyone who stood out to me, at least. I'm trying to think of anyone else like really like Tiff kind of had a quiet episode other than her talking about like Hugh's antics in terms of
kind of place setting for future where she eventually is like, okay, we're gonna cut Q now.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very quiet. Actually, I wonder if we saw confessional accounts where she was at, because I imagine she's got to be towards the bottom.
Just one. Mm-hmm. All I can remember is that confessional.
Yeah.
Hunter, you know, he was potentially going to play his idol, ultimately didn't need to, so that's definitely good for him. I don't know where he necessarily goes from here, though, because, like, his original tribe's just completely shattered. He has Tevin, and he seemingly has Q, who's really gone to bat for him. But like, where does that get you, really? You know?
Yeah, especially with like this, obviously with Tim going in this episode, this Journey 6 alliance that never really amounted to much. Is like at most five left. Like if, you know, Maria even wants to,
I don't think, you know, she does
care about this at this point. Yeah. Like I would assume Maria and Charlie are just gonna like do their own thing now and like try to maneuver a middle position. But I don't know. Like, it's not really like a lot of wiggle room for most of the people. Like, that's kind of the thing. Like, there's not a lot of like wiggle room for a lot of people, but there also isn't a lot of like hard and fast alliances that seem like they're gonna stick. So I think it's kind of anyone's game at this point to reform a structure that benefits them.
Mm-hmm. Maria and Charlie do seem pretty solid. And I think Tiff and Kenzie are pretty solid too, but I agree. Outside of that, it does seem like everybody's a mercenary at that point. I'm a little concerned for Hunter's game. I think that he's now the same type of player that we see every season, where he's going to be a physical threat. He does really good in challenges, but the second that he slips up and he he's not in the right spot, he's going to be gone. He said it himself. The only reason he was still around at that point is because they kept winning challenges with his tribe, or else he would have been one of the first ones going out. Because they already started shaping that up like the second episode in, of people throwing him out there because he was he's going to be a threat down the road. So yeah, he has like, if anything, an uphill battle. Obviously, he still has his idol, which is huge. I'm really glad he didn't play that today, because then we'd be having the discussion about stupid plays of idols and forcing things when you don't need to.
Yeah, I'm on the record, playing an idol even when you don't have to is never a bad move. You're guaranteeing a round. It's the same as playing immunity. you can only not play an idol and it to be bad, in my opinion.
Is there anybody left that has two votes, or is that all gone now?
No, all the vote shenanigans are done. It's just the two idols that are in play.
Good. Good. I hate extra votes.
Yeah.
They're stupid. They've never worked out.
Okay, no. Kevin has an extra vote, right? I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Kevin has an extra vote.
That's why I felt like
that's why he's like, I don't need soda. I have my extra vote.
Yeah, I have an extra vote that'll do what I say.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Yeah, what do we think of the sandwiches, guys? This is, you know, I don't think it's as good as the peanut butter and jelly, if I'm being honest, but I want to get your opinions.
I want to know your guys' opinion on coffee and tea. I feel like that's like
horrible. I would never drink coffee on Survivor. Are you kidding? Yeah.
It's going to be the worst thing to get as a drink on Survivor. I would rather have alcohol, I think.
My toxic trait is that I'd probably start, like, especially like iced coffee, I would just start slugging it back.
Yeah, right. Well, I would too, but like it's awful. Like if I was gonna get cast in Survivor, I would wean myself off of caffeine. And it would be bad to like, you know, smack your face with caffeine after so much time starving.
And also, like, you've been eating nothing but like coconut. And,
yeah, your stomach's gonna be water. In ruts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna be having a rough time.
Yeah, we'll see about going to tribal later, Jeff. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking about a diuretic, you know?
Yeah. Like, why coffee? Why?
Yeah.
Like, I get winning coffee as a reward, you know, like pre-merge, but like to just be offered coffee, yeah, I don't get it. At least like iced tea or something, you know.
Well, that's when you like really see who's battling a caffeine addiction and who's not. It's when they bring up the tea and coffee.
Mm-hmm. What is the best drink to get on Survivor then?
Gatorade?
No, yeah, some sort of electrolytes for sure.
Yeah.
Like when I think of like, we always talk about how bad the alcohol will be, but like, I don't know, like a thick like milkshake. I guess it depends when you drink it, because if you're drinking it like the day before an immunity challenge or like a few hours before an immunity challenge, that's no bueno. But I guess maybe you can get some sort of like the protein from the dairies or protein in dairy. I guess there's some sort of
probably yes
chocolate if it's pure chocolate, which is not. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's electrolytes, Gatorade for sure.
Yeah, which I don't know if they've ever done something like that. They usually do like soda or alcohol, right? And then at the merge feast, I saw like a lot of them had iced water. That'd be really welcome after like 2 weeks of not having cold water.
Although it's not like a real well, right? Is that just something that's just replenished by?
No, like, yeah, I heard it's just like you know, like one of those big trash cans, like put that in there, and then
I was gonna say, I wonder if maybe that's cold being down, but.
It's probably colder than it would be like sitting out. Yeah. But I don't think you have to boil it anymore because they're not doing the fire thing. So like you got to do a trade off there where it's like, well, if you can't give them flint to make fire, we can't also make the well water undrinkable.
Q and Kenzie and Tiff would all have dysentery if that was the case. Yeah. I mean, fire over for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Or you just call their bluff like Rudy and Sue did on Survivor All-Stars and just be like, I'm just going to drink it. And whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm. I've played Oregon Trail too many times to know
what
that's like.
Yeah.
Don't wanna be like, I don't think since like Africa, like season 3, have they like.
Yeah, Dylan, have you seen Survivor Africa?
No.
Dude, their water well was a like. Natural spring in mud. They had to dig out mud to like make it big enough to like fill up water. Disgusting. Like
mud and elephant shit as well.
Yeah,
that was back in the day though, where it was like part of the time on an island, you were like fighting for your life at some points too.
Mark Brunette was on the path to kill somebody.
Yeah,
like he if they had gone to Jordan like the intended in Marquesas, one of those cast members would have died.
Do we know who's been the closest to death if we have like a ranking?
I think Russell's Caleb.
Caleb probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember when Kayla went down, it was a heat stroke, basically.
Yeah. Heat stroke.
Because then Penner had a blood infection?
He had an infected knee, and they were worried that it could go into his blood, and then he have septic shock, right?
Yeah. I guess it depends how you define closest. Like, you know, highest percentage, that they died, I think probably Caleb. Mm-hmm. But then, it's still probably, single digits at the highest.
Yeah. Russell Swan also really, they were saying that he almost died, and it was, very scary. Obviously, the Caleb thing, that was such an insane situation where they, literally completely broke the fourth wall to, just show you them dealing with it. But, he got to come back and be not very good.
Yeah, on an all-star. Just as good a Survivor as everyone expected him to be.
Crazy that he's played Survivor twice and not Big Brother again. You know?
Yeah.
Not that he was much better at Big Brother, but
at least he made Final Four in Big Brother, so
Yeah. That's what I mean. He made it so far. You would have thought he would come back again, but you know, who else? Who else almost died? Bruce. Bruce, he couldn't poop.
Yeah, Bruce kind of guy.
That's scary, obviously.
Those are the three that immediately come to mind.
Yeah. What about Joe? Was DeCampo? Del Campo?
Del Campo, yeah. He was another one you couldn't shit because had a meat feast.
After being a vegetarian, he ate all the meat. He ate a bunch of meat.
That was the most anticlimactic way to leave I think I've ever seen in the show, or because he was such a key figure in the voting process at that point. And it's such an old dude thing to have happen, to just he ate way too much meat and he was just done for. He took his metaphorical belt off and unbuttoned his pants and he just went home.
Went home with all of Aubrey's win equity.
She's completely drawing dead from that moment.
I guess in terms of what actually killed the game, I guess that one really truly did.
Obviously, I guess Aris, he just got hurt a lot, and he probably would have got medevaced if it wasn't day 39.
Yeah, he smashed a bottle on his foot.
Yeah.
The bottle of wine at the day 39 feast.
When Joe was doing that balancing thing and he collapsed, they built that up Joe was going to die in the show. The way that Jeff and everybody reacted. I think that was the most scared I've ever seen Jeff.
His reputation, though, if he had died during a challenge, would have been amazing compared to now. His reputation in the Survivor community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen Funny People? Yeah. You guys ever seen Funny People?
No.
Adam Sandler's character.
Oh, the movie. Yeah.
And at one point, he has cancer, and then he gets cured. And there's a scene with Eminem where he's like, "You should have died, man." What? He's like, "You should have just gone out on top. That would have been amazing." So that's how. Hopefully, Joe could come back from his alpha male boot camp arc.
Underrated movie. I actually like that movie a lot.
I did too. Yeah. I got a lot of shit, but I enjoyed Funny People. Anyways, sorry to completely tangent for a reference of a movie that wasn't that popular from 2008. Yep. It's a real deep pull. Oh man.
Yeah. So I guess, I think what else we could talk about here. I guess we could talk about Tim versus Ben on this, tribe, or what do you think is a more interesting topic, Tim versus Ben, or Tim and Ben versus Hunter for the Q and Tiff and Kenzie?
I mean, it just feels like Q was calling the shots and nobody else cared to step in, because it's we're at the final 12, whatever, we can just let Q have this. But I feel like Tim did himself a disservice by not just throwing Ben under the bus super hard, because if he does that, he probably stays, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is hard because like the real mistake Tim made, well, the first of many mistakes Tim made was, I think, saying that his duo was Maria in this Journey 6 alliance formation thing and not Ben. Because Maria had an extra vote and Ben had lost his vote, whereas by the time they got to the merge, both of those things were irrelevant. So that was mistake number one. Obviously, if that were the case and the splits were exactly the same as they are, you're in a situation where five of the Journey 6 are on this group of six and the one that isn't is immune. And now selling that they should take out Hunter now is way easier because you don't have that looming over. And it's not like, oh, Tim is trying to undermine this alliance as soon as he possibly can. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, well, we have to vote one of ourselves out because we have no options. So we might as well take out the one that's alone.
Hunter's, the one who's alone. Yeah, that's a great point. And it does seem like he was closer to Ben.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't he say Ben? I don't understand.
It's because Ben lost his vote and because everyone knew that Maria had an extra vote. I think that's literally it. Like, that's all the reason that he had. And again, it mattered zero because Maria burnt her extra vote pre-merge. Now Ben got through the one vote he didn't have a vote pre-merge, and now he has it again. So, like, it was just completely, completely silly.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
I think Tim was just fabulous as well.
I felt bad for Tim, but I think he kind of just gave up. I think he realized he was his fate was literally in just in every. I don't know. I felt bad. I think it kind of hit him when he left too. Of like, I don't know. He maybe didn't play his best game when he was there.
Yeah, well, he's loyal to Ben, but not loyal enough to include him, and that just like, you know, him being like, well, we need it because of the numbers and that. I was just like, okay, that. You know, that's not going to work, man. That's a bad argument here. So, unfortunate. Hunter did what he had to do. Just go to Q and be like, I'll do whatever. Just tell me who to vote for.
Yeah. I'm Yanu now, you know.
Yeah, I'm Yanu now. Yeah. Like, I actually hate my tribe. They're all awful. They can't work together at all. You'll see.
Apparently, Hunter next week just goes and starts hiding in trees and goes missing.
Yeah,
that like shot was hilarious where they're looking for him and cuts up to him like crouched down in a tree. Looking forward to seeing what that's all about.
Bold to bring the spy nest back, but I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he couldn't tell you the order of the seasons, but he can replicate Tony's gameplay.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he didn't bring the spy bunker back. You know, like that would have been really redeeming everything. Maybe Ghost Island too. There'll be a spy bunker.
Yeah. It's a deployable spy bunker. All you have to do is win this you know, coin flip on Ghost Island too, and you get to
Tony will come and build a spy bunker for you to hide in to redeem his spy bunker.
Yeah. I guess anything else? I guess we could talk because, you know, we've mentioned big move-itis for Tevin. I feel like the show didn't really sell it to us that it was a bad move, though, when I think it was. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of curious you guys' take on that. But, like, it feels like such a pointless move to make, especially because, like, voting out Charlie would be so good. Voting out Venus would also be really strong for Tevin. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't really make any sense at all.
His reasoning behind it is what I had an issue with. The overall move in the end, it's not a move I would have made, but his reasoning was that, you know, he can't trust Venus, but he knows what kind of game she's playing, where he's saying that like he can't trust Soda, where like Soda at that point had not really given him any reason not to trust her, and like he wasn't sure of the move she would make. He's another one I don't know for sure because he's not like he's going to start working with Venus now, you know,
right?
Unless he's some sort of like master thinking three steps ahead of what to do, because he's sort of similar to Hunter in a way now where he's kind of like he's like a man with no ship now at this point where he's kind of just
we got each other presumably
good. And if Hunter has a idol, and if Tevin indeed does have two votes, obviously that benefits them a lot. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe he was really convinced that him and Soda were not as aligned as Soda thought him and her were. Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad they went with Soda instead of Venus in terms of like an entertainment aspect. And I like Soda, but it's definitely not the move I would have made. And then in the end,
no.
he didn't even vote for Soda. He voted for Venus. So
yeah. And like we're not out there, so obviously like we can't say it for 100%. But from everything we've been shown, Soda was just openly like, "Yeah, I trust you. We're good." Like, why would you ever vote someone off like that? Because they sing and it annoys you sometimes. That's fine. It's for $1 million. You need people who trust you.
Yeah, especially when like the other major option was like pretty strongly pitching a 3-2-1 plan to get Tevin out. That right. Strategically made sense. Like obviously, yeah. Like Venus doesn't have the social capabilities to pull it off, like selling that move. But like that like was a good plan from Venus. Mm-hmm. If she had the chops, if she had the capital to pull it off, like that would have made sense for her. So like, that's not like, it doesn't matter how well you can read Venus. Like you can read her really well. Like maybe at a certain point, she's able to like actually land a move. You know, maybe like her pitches don't fall on deaf ears because people are annoyed by her personality. At a certain point, like that's just too dangerous to keep around, in my opinion.
I guess when you asked earlier, Brian, who had like the good episodes, it's oddly enough, I think Venus is maybe third for me behind Kenzie and Maria.
It's so funny because it's like everything we see is like Venus is so hard to work with. She's really annoying. I don't want to work with her. And she just keeps making it just every time.
I think she kind of like fell ass backwards into it in the end, but like,
oh yes. Yeah, of course.
In terms of like where she sits now, like, I don't know.
Get beat by her and be very annoyed by it. Like we're going to see a lot of anti Venus. If she makes it to the end, especially, it's going to be a tough final tribal council for Venus. Cause people already discount her and are annoyed by her. And then if they get beaten by her, they're going to be so mad.
Because she's not set up in a situation like Abby Maria, where like she was purposely being brought along by whoever was taking her because they knew they were going to be able to cut her eventually. And like she's there.
Maybe brought her to the end. Those two.
She's there. I don't know. Because Maria made it clear. I don't think Maria wants to work with her, but I think Maria was smart enough. Because Maria and Charlie, who cared? They didn't at that point. They didn't care who was voted out. They were going to take whoever was the easiest path at that point. That wasn't Charlie. But like, yeah, I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, like, I feel like Venus probably had the third best week for me, and she like fell into it and then took credit for it, which just makes it even funnier.
Mm-hmm. That's actually really good. Honestly, you bring up Adam Rhea. I think Adam Rhea is like the perfect comparison for me for Venus. Like, I hadn't really thought about who I would compare her to before, but like that fits a lot. Cause like, I think Abby Maria strategically had a lot of good ideas, especially in Philippines. And a lot of people just didn't listen to her because she was grading and because she was like, you know, socially incompetent. And I do think that she's a person who on paper should get dragged to the end as a goat, but because of her like super headstrong personality where she wants to control things and like is really, you know, hard to mold and like hard to get on your side, even if it like makes sense, if she's like that headstrong on a plan, she still might get clipped out in the same way that Amaria did in like the 7-5 range.
Mm-hmm. yeah but I'll never forget that tribal council where she was like, "I don't think I come off badly to people." And Jeff was like, "What?" Like, sorry, Abby. I think he was like, "I'm starting to think it is a cultural difference to where like you can't see that you're coming off badly to people."
Mm-hmm.
Like that was so classic Survivor. I hope we get that Jeff back at some point where he just said stuff like that. Because, you know, I've been watching, I guess like Jeff Probst, the King of Sass compilations on YouTube. Amazing. We need that Jeff back, damn it.
Occasionally get sparks. You occasionally get like sparks of old Jeff, but then he goes back and conforms to new Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. I do think that the two quitters last season at least opened the door for the possibility of that Jeff to come back. You know.
Yeah. We did get him calling Yano losers.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. That will, you know, part five or six, whatever one it will be, that'll definitely be in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. Anything else from this episode that we really want to cover?
No, I think the foundation has been set for what should be a very interesting next couple of weeks. Like I said, I think we can
actually play Survivor at the merge.
Yeah, now that we've officially actually merged for real, I think that we can now start to see. I think the storylines have kind of been set up. Like I said, I've done a complete 180 on this season. I was very nervous with that Bonu voted episode of like where we were going, but in the end, I think it was because we just hadn't had the exposure to everybody yet, and I think we can see it's really working well right now. Like my brother who always finds a reason to hate everybody every season is even saying that he himself is enjoying the cast this year. So yeah, I'm excited. I think everything's shaping up well. I think a lot of the things we have discussed today are probably coming true in terms of like arcs that are story arcs moving forward. Like I think Q's downfall has been set up. I think Kenzie's winner's arc is like starting to take shape. I feel the same way about Maria. I think we're seeing Venus's kind of like we said, the Abby Maria kind of like villain chaos machine that she can be. It's all very entertaining. I think it's good. I think Charlie, I don't know if Charlie is going to win, but I think Charlie could have kind of like that Fishback edit where like, you know, maybe he's not the mastermind Fishback was, but he's playing his role as a Robin to, I assume, Maria's Batman. Which I do like to see. Like I said, I like to see an alliance that sticks together basically from the beginning to end. So that could be them. So two thumbs up. Very excited. This episode was, in my opinion, the best episode of the season. I think it kind of gives everything. We're away from Bonu and that kind of goofy whole like kind of like what feels like now like a fever dream ordeal the first couple episodes of the season. So I'm glad we're back to this spot.
Agreed.
Totally agree. Yeah, definitely the best episode of the season for me as well.
Yep. And other than that, do you guys want to plug where people can find you? Dylan, you want to start off?
Listen, I am going to do the Twitch thing eventually because
I have been working. I can help you if you need help. I've got it figured out.
Because I got your text and then I got too excited and I forgot to respond to like yes, because I have tried to I did what you told me of shutting that setting off. I don't know if maybe because my card is directly in my tower. I don't know if maybe there's something wrong on there because I get sound but not video. So I got to figure that out. I'm trying to play like more goofy games too.
Okay.
I think I've completely cleared out like all the viruses that were on my PC. So I want to start playing more really like, ridiculous PC games.
When you downloaded all the emulators and whatnot.
Yeah. I saw Fallout 4 is getting a big performance update.
Yes.
Around 60 frames per second and all that. And I heard the show is very good. So like, I want to start talking about the show. So we're at the same spot I always am when we get to the end of each of these episodes where I have a million things that I want to do together. It's just a matter of getting there. But I am very excited for Fallout for the show. I've heard very good things. So follow me on Twitch and on Twitter at DJ Cleverlang. I'll be there. I've deleted all other socials. I'm off the grid.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's smart, though. I think that's, you know, I wish I had the ability to not constantly seek validation from strangers on the internet and could delete all my social media.
I still have TikTok. I take that back. Follow me on TikTok. DJ Cleverlang too.
Right.
Which may arguably maybe the most poisonous, but follow me there. Brain rot is the kid.
Certainly the most addictive.
Yes.
I'll say that way. I have to like be like, oh, what am I doing? I'm wasting so much time.
I am disgusted by how much time I spend on TikTok. I'm like a 16-year-old girl in high school. It's crazy.
Right. Oh, man. All right, Ben, where can they find you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on at Ben Sharon. I wanted to put a tweet out about BBCAN 12, but I don't think I did. I think I forgot. I think I thought of the tweet and then never actually went on and sent it. Because like Dylan, I deleted all my social media apps basically off of my phone. And like that, like, you know, usually how I had previously accessed them most of the time. So that like massively cut down on my use of social media, which I think has been a great so far. But also means that like if I think of a snappy tweet I want to send out, I you know, half the time I forget to do it. Mm-hmm. But BBCAN 12 has turned around, in my opinion. This past week was really good.
All right.
So yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, it might actually level out to being an average to maybe even slightly above average season.
You know who I've been watching occasionally on Twitch? John Party. Doing some poker streams, trying to get back into poker a little bit. And, you know, it's just someone who I recognize. I was like, oh, he won, right? Big Brother Canada.
Yeah.
So he's pretty good stream, I think.
Yeah, he's one of two Big Brother Canada winners who is a professional Twitch poker player.
Yeah, because you can gamble on poker in Canada, right? So it makes it easier to do a Twitch stream surrounding it.
Yeah. I assume it's easier, yeah.
Anyway, well, I mean, you can just do it anyways here if you want. Like so many other streamers have. But yeah, other than that, you can follow me on Twitter at the fake BMAR, BMARR. It's right here. Yes, Dylan, let me know. Super down to stream and play games there. Ben, we should do something with the Game Bots channel. I've been trying to think of, you know, we have like the ideas for like the long term stuff, but those will take a lot of effort. But other than that, Ben and I are cooking something up. You guys wait. You'll like it. I promise. Because we are, you know.
Like, we've been cooking for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're always cooking. It's just like, you know, at a certain point, we have to serve a dish. And then, like.
Yeah. Right now, I think we're in our Breaking Bad cooking montage era. Mm-hmm. That's how, like, good the cooking has been lately.
Do I need to physically get in shape for this game?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well. Maybe not, because we've kind of got a different way with some of the challenges lately.
Yeah, so. I would say it won't hurt, but yes. Probably not necessary.
Yeah,
I also don't want to put the bumble butt all over the course either. You know what I mean? So I gotta.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you sign me up for this game once it's official. Maybe I'll do a couple push-ups here and there.
Okay, perfect. But yeah, so. Where was I? Main channel, Wiki Get Everything, just put out a new video about how Helldivers is taking over my life, really. Quite frankly, I'm obsessed with it. I think it's one of the most fun games I've played in years. It's just really great. So please check that out there. Dylan, you talked about wanting to cover Fallout. We got a Fallout podcast, so we have a spot for you to come on, talk about Fallout. We got that coming soon. I don't think I realized that it was going to be an 8-episode drop all at once. I thought it was going to be a weekly show.
Yeah, I thought Amazon had committed to doing weeklies.
Yeah, they've been doing like, we'll drop 3 and then 1 episode a week after that. And then they were like, oh, we're just going to drop all 8 episodes of Fallout. And I was like, shit, it sucks, obviously. Why else would they be doing this? And then it came out and everyone's like, this show's amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Why did they do this then? Makes no sense. Walton Goggins didn't deserve an 8-episode drop. Should be week to week for him. But yeah, that'll be fun. Go, you know, it's this channel, Better Radio, for that. And then yeah, I think that's mostly it. That's all I can think of right now anyways. We're on all social media. We can get everything. We can get sports. Just find us. And other than that, we'll see you in the next one.